Hello again, and in this episode we will be looking to start moving into staking and money management, and this will probably take us over the next few episodes now. As always, if you are new to this series of podcasts, then I do suggest you go back to the start, go to ftsincome.co.uk. If you go to the blog section, you've got the written versions of these. And if you go to the FTS bet slip section, you will find the audio that goes alongside them. I do recommend that you start from the beginning and that you take notes along the way. But they are on the website forevermore for you to refer back to. So in the last episode, I talked about finalising your trading style and determining what you wanted your trading life to look like. And if you remember, previous episodes, I mentioned the pillars of setting up your betting trading life: preparation, development of a trading style, staking, money management, psychology, system performance analysis, and then finally commencement of trading. So we've got all these steps before, and all these need to come together. And as we get further into the episodes, they all entwine. It's really difficult to sort of separate them out. And I think that's what people think, that everything can be in its own little compartment. And to master this game, eventually everything has to come together. You need to develop all these skills, bring them all together as a whole, and then you can move on. And that's hopefully what this can do. As I've said before, there's no university course out for this. And while I can break it up into topics and modules, really it all needs to come together. And none of them are really more important than the other. When we get into money management and bankrolls and staking, obviously that is vitally important, but everything else needs to come in with it. And they'll all be crucial to your success. So as you pull all these parts together and settle on what it is you're going to bet, going back to developing your trading style, it is worthwhile. Something I got into when I started out was building a system card, and I did used to use index cards. I was, until sort of 2014, I was still very much a pen and paper man. I'm glad I've moved on, because the stuff that I've been introduced over the years, particularly in what Excel can do, has been amazing. But one of the first books that I read on the subject of betting, and horse race gamblers will probably recognise this more than football punters, was by a guy called Nick Mordin, called Betting for a Living. And Nick loved an index card to keep track of horses. It's a long time ago I read the book, but he used to basically make notes of horses on index cards and keep them, and then he always had it to refer back to. And I took that idea to develop cards for my football systems. Again, you sort of start out on these things, and don't get me wrong, I've made loads of mistakes that I thought, oh, I'll have all this index cards of my systems and it'll be neat. But I do think it's something you should do. I mean, I don't do it now on cards. Everything is kept in Excel. But it does help you sort of get all your ducks in a row before diving in, keeping everything in one place. So on the written version of the blog, you can see a sample of what it would include. And it simply contains the system name, what you call it. I tend to name my systems after footballers. The criteria that's required, the points that it won in your system research, in testing, forward testing, back testing, what the ELLR would be, what the estimated losing run would be, which we've got a table for that back on a previous episode. On the written blog version, what the actual losing run, so we've got our estimated one, what has it actually experienced, the edge that you think the system had, and that's for one a bit further down the line, probably two or three episodes out, that we'll get to that, the average price you're betting at, the average win-loss ratio and ranking. So I think this is quite important for people, and what do you win on a winning bet compared to what you lose on a losing bet. So, for example, a lay system where we might be laying at 6, we win 1 point, but we may lose 5. I would rank that very differently to a system where I win more on a winning bet than I lose on a losing bet. So a better than 1-to-1 ratio, you know, win to losses, would be classed as good. And then you'd probably work back from that. But it's subjective to you. But I think it's quite a good thing to actually be aware of the situation you're in. What are you winning and what are you losing? On a winning bet and a losing bet. Biggest drawdown, so as opposed to losing run, what's actually the worst points or financial hit that it's taken? What's the biggest bank hit? So from my starting bank, what's the lowest point that that actual starting capital would have got to? And then just some notes on it. Has it back tested positively? Has it forward tested positively? Was there a difference between the two? What bank do you require? What staking will you apply? The time involved, which again I think is a key thing. People dive into stuff without really appreciating the time involved. So for example, if you want to be a pre-race horse trader, it's time, it's every day. You've to get into a rhythm and flow of it, I imagine you've got to sit and get into it and do it every day. So if you're out working, it's not something that you can dive in. If you want to do fixed odds football, that might be something you can set up on a Friday morning and you're done for a couple of hours work and you're done. So I think that's really important that people understand the time that's going to be involved going forward. And then another good area to note down is what psychological factors could there be? So, will that drawdown that you've worked out, will it test you mentally? Does the win-loss ratio suit? And you can give it a sort of what I call a psychological stress factor, the PSF. We want this to be low for the best chance of success. But again, it is subjective to you. On all the psychological factors, you need to be honest. As I've said last time, I said it before, it's easy for people to say, I can handle it. I get told by people all the time when I'm having, training and one-to-ones with them, I can handle it. And then you get into something and the words and actions are far different. So it is worthwhile, if you marked it as 10 is really stressful, 1 is not so stressful, somewhere, where would you fall? And is that going to put you under a stress factor? And then once you've added all that up together, give it just a suitability score. So given all the factions to you out of 10, again, it's subjective. All this stuff, you've got to be honest. It's pointless lying to yourself. And that is all you are doing. It's not flash. You're not showing anybody. It's not anything that's big. Oh, I've got one of my stress factors 10, mate, because I can handle it. It doesn't mean anything. You just need to be subjective and honesty required. 1 would not be compatible. 10 would be supremely compatible to you. And the more chance you then get to a method of betting that is compatible to you, the more chance of success, the less chance of jumping around from method to method and trying to find something that works as a short-term fix. Getting the balance between what is profitable forward and what suits you is really what we're striving for, and we will all be different. It'll be different for everybody. Once we have found a method to bet trade, money management then becomes, in my opinion, your next most important element. I will be totally honest, no one will be getting rich betting in tenners. The likelihood of something winning 40, 50 points a month, every month, forevermore is extremely slim. The likelihood of scaling up a method like that to income levels over time is extremely thin. Other people will disagree, but I don't think you can get to the levels, we're talking income levels, good income levels, 300, 400, 500, 600 pounds on things at big prices in the lower leagues. All you're going to do is push the price out. And 15 years of doing this tells me that's the case. For me, in money management, my first aim is survival. My second aim is growth. And my third aim is to have more on the bets that pay me well and win more often. I think honestly having multiple systems, then betting level stakes, £10 across the board long term, it's unlikely that that will get you where you want it to be. I appreciate that probably a lot of people listening are going, well, that's where I'm at as a starting point, but we've got to have a plan to be able to grow that, move that on, and get that money that's working for us working in the right place is the best. And how you determine how you manage your money will determine those sort of three aims there: survival, growth, and to get more money on the ones that we want. It's all down to money management. We need to understand our risk of going bust, but also embrace the fact that we are not going to go anywhere without risk. And I'll go back to the podcast I held with Peter Webb, which can be found on the ftsincome.co.uk website in the podcast section. when Peter talks about one of the big breaking sort of breakthroughs in his career was accepting and understanding and embracing risk. You've got to embrace risk in this game. When real money is involved, it affects people thinking, you know, sometimes to the extent of being completely insanely irrational. Once you are set up from the start, if you get into that, so we talked, you know, all the stuff we've talked about, preparations, cards, everything, you know, trading styles, what suits us, you've got a much higher chance of succeeding in your trading life. We want your money management to take you away from watching every football match, every horse race, you know, as if your life depended on it. And it's a learning curve, it's a process, and I get that people also bet for fun, so they want to watch where their money's invested. But I'm aiming this at people who want to move on. Sitting there begging for a goal is not the way to be living your betting life. The mentality of money management will be the deciding factor for you. It is the dwindling bank for me that sees people tweak and abandon methods at the wrong time. It is the real key to your sort of overall end point in this game. Ultimately, if you say to somebody, why did you stop? Why did you give up? It comes down to the money. I have found that over the years, for me personally, having more on at prices that don't trouble me mentally is a lot more profitable and sustainable for me than trying to win this 40, 50 points a month, as I say above. Early readers of FTS, and I'm going back to when we first started, 2006, 2007, 2008, may well recall that back then I didn't really like odds on shots or even money shots. In those days, I was big priced horses and predominantly lay the draw in football. And obviously the irony of that is when you lay the draw in football, you are actually back in home and away at short odds on. But it was just a bet I liked. These days I have many more odds on bets. I have loads of bets around 2.0, particularly in goals markets. I can get more money on it. They win more often. So it's a nice method. My early views that I had on odds on shots, whereas it sort of turned out as my career's developed, pretty baseless and irrational. And they actually came from, if I go back to episode one where I talk about people being socialised, they came from my introduction into gambling. My mentor was a horse punter and he made his money by backing big prices. So I thought that was how you won. That's kind of where I was looking. The biggest unlocking of my own increase in profit in recent years has been the ability to get more on, staking more on the bets that win most often, driven mainly by price. A 1.7 bet will win more times more than a 2.0 bet. Fact, you know, absolute fact. Further down the line in this series, I'll share some graphs with you with on actual versus expected performance at different odds levels, and that episode alone will debunk most of the garbage that gets touted around this subject. You may have people who are shouting and ranting about a 50% strike rate at 3.0, but it will be a small, very select number of bets. You know, if I bet 4 2.0 shots and they all win, I have 100% strike rate. I may get to 400 2.0 bets and I may have a 60% strike rate, but I'll guarantee you come 4,000 bets, I may have a 52-53% strike rate and I would be doing well. I think that one will be a really interesting episode down the line. When we look at the mistakes people make in money management, they range from, you know, most people not having any plan, they just dive in, to the sort of chasing losses, Martingale, Fibonacci style, where there is no higher probability that a win will follow a loss, yet people persist, you know, and go back again to the episode where I talked about roulette and how more people jump on when it's red, black on a streak. Your longest losing streak will occur when it occurs. You cannot control that with your staking. That is when you turn from having any plan to just becoming a pure, hopeful gambler, really hoping that results fall right at that moment to get you out of a hole. One of my favourite sayings in dealing with people is, rarely does a bank fail in gambling. People do. You know, if we say, and I think probably being generous, 10% of people win at punting, I would hazard that there's only 10% of people are prepared to see a bank go all the way, maybe not even again as high as that. Most pack up well before that stage, particularly in sports punting. Casino gambling's a bit different. You will see people sit at the table until they haven't got a chip left. And that a part of that's all down to the psychology of using chips and not cash and things. But people will sit there till they go broke. On the flip side, you then have people who win, who tend to raise the stakes too high and too quickly, and the inevitable bad run comes along, and from there the losses far outweigh any gains. And I think, you know, one of the, again, the key things I've sort of experienced with people is there's people who have lots of good winning days or winning periods, but then when they have a bad run, it's just horrific or horrendous, or a bad day is just wipes out 20 good days. It's just horrendous. And just to examine that for a minute, on the written version of this, so those of you listening, you will have to go to the written version to see this on the website ftsincome.co.uk, and just click the blog section, and it will be this blog, so dated cards and money management. And on there is a list of football bets priced at 2.0. They're genuine football bets. They're genuinely in actual order they occurred. And every order, every bet was exactly 2.0 5 minutes before kickoff. So when all the money was in the market, 5 minutes pre-kickoff. And there is a list of 29 bets there and 23 won. So if I was tipping up, you know, 2.0 shots, let's go say, into the FTS Telegram room, I was tipping up and I had that run, people would think I was a god. And going on my experience of people, I'd go in and say, guys, I'm going to put some bets up, follow them. After they'd seen 8 to 10 of them and there'd only been a couple of losers, they'd probably convince themselves by then that they are on a sure thing, and then they'd up their stakes. And that's standard for sort of what I see in people I exchange emails with. You know, you get the, you know, we found the holy grail. Hell, Ian, those 2.0 bets you're putting up are amazing. They're unreal. Thanks ever so much. You'll see it on social media. I'm on a winning run of 13. Look how brilliant I am. I'm 20 points up this week. Look at me. Then there's a second image, a second graphic under that of exactly the same bets. Not the same matches, but the same off the same sample of bets. Another run, and that is 27 bets with 6 winners. Remember, these are odds of 2.0, and when all the market of information is in, everything is in, all the team news, everything is in. You know, the closing line value guys may have backed them at 2.2. They've all gone off at 2. They thought they were in a great position. It all counts for nothing when a run like this comes along, and it will come along. You know, expectation, estimated longest losing run episodes, look at it, all the factors we discuss pull together to form a whole. It is on that run of only 6 bets in 27, there is a losing run of 12 bets. It's really hard to believe that until you see these things, that 12 bets of 2.0, if I said to somebody, go and pick 12 2.0 losers on the trot, it'd be really difficult, but it happens. And it did genuinely happen. If you put your stakes up after figure one, where we've only had 23 winning bets in 29, only 6 losing bets, and then you run into the just 6 winning bets out of 27, you'd be moaning your luck. How unlucky am I? And ultimately, you'd be skint. And setting up your bank and staking needs to account for this. We've always got to be thinking when we're setting a bank and stake up. I am always thinking, I'm thinking 2-3 years ahead. You know when they say about chess players think 2-3 moves ahead, and poker people are thinking bets ahead. You know, you're trying to trap the next guy in the next round of betting. I'm always thinking, not that match, I'm thinking 2-3 years down the line. Where can I take this? What is this realistically going to look like 2-3 years down the line? Is it sustainable? Is it growable? What sort of bad runs am I likely to get? And if we set all that up in your bank and staking, we know it can happen. We can set our bank up. We can accept it. We can move on. The word I always use is bomb-proof. You know, we need the balance between the method suits us, going back to trading styles and things. You know, 12 losers at 2.0 aren't for you, don't do it. But if that happens, you know, and it can happen, it has happened, imagine what can happen at 3.0, 4.0, 5.0. Not what people tell you they're doing and all the garbage. What can actually happen? You know, just imagine what could happen. If that can happen at 2.0, 50% market chance, what can happen at 3.0, 4.0, 5.0. I'll tell you what, you don't even have to imagine. You can go to the website, written version, and I've got two graphics there. I had to put it on two because it's so many, of 60 consecutive bets. Now, double the odds at 4.0. So 60 consecutive bets at 4.0 in the way that they were played. Odds recorded 5 minutes pre-kickoff. Again, all the information is in. The market's decided. That's the price. You know, nigh on 100% books. It's super efficient markets. It's got three winners. Three winners at 4.0. 57 losers out of 60 bets. Three winners at 4.0. There'll be people who tell you can't pop that. None of that is. That's absolute. I can verify every result. You know, those super efficient markets. You know, they work super efficiently to this world order that people write about. Mentally, can we handle what we're seeing? They're real life scenarios. No matter what people tell you elsewhere, as I say, I can verify every single result I talk about. We pull together all the information we have before betting, form our bankroll on that information. And when you do that, doesn't it now look madness to give somebody tipping up even money chances, five or six bets, throw a few tenners at it and then go that shit and walk off? Because if you're going to do that, you're just going to keep throwing money away. If we can handle it mentally, then we can handle it financially. If we can plan it all out in front of us, that's when we can do it. So bank management is key before we just dive in. And initially, a betting bankroll setup has to be money you can afford. As I say, bomb-proof setup, so we can absorb anything that's thrown at us. Staying in this game is so important and underestimated. That, I would say, is the ultimate key to my success in what I've done betting, is staying in the game. A plan to increase the stakes in a methodical manner. Having a consistent approach to our betting, because we've planned and we know what may happen, we've got consistent. So before we get into the realms of variable staking, you know, I've talked of having more on this, before we get into that, and Kelly, I'll give you my exact approach. I've talked about this many times before, to fixed odds banks, which has seen me turn banks of £500 or £1,000 into high five figures, in some cases six figures. I've shown this live to people. Personally, I like to have three complementing systems, so I'll get three, if you like, macro systems and put them together in one. And that's just because, you know, and it might be something like home wins between XY price in some leagues, and then home wins but in a slightly different price band, different leagues. Just because then if one starts to falter slightly, the other two may, you know, it's unlikely all three are going to falter at the same time. I'll cover that in a separate episode together, but I like to get three complementing systems, put them together off one bank. I'll work out the biggest drawdown through back and forward testing. I look at the estimated longest losing run for the price strike rate I'm showing in my results, and I'll go, if you go to the ELR table on the blog post for that episode, I'll look at the FAR number, the 5,000 bet number, because I'm intending to be in the long haul, so I'm not interested in what happens after 100 bets. What am I looking at down the line if I keep going? And once I've got all that information, I've then got what's the drawdown been in points, and I will multiply that by 3 or 4. If I'm betting a system with a longer estimated losing run, or that's had a, you know, bit more volatility in it, you know, see the graphics on the written post here between the difference between 2.0 shots with a 50% chance and 4.0 shots with a 25% chance. Go and look at those runs of results on the blog post. And when I look at them and I've got that, it's not just possible, but likely at some stage, I sort of get all that together. So that's my drawdown. I'll multiply it by 3 or 4, depending on what I'm going to be betting. I'll then round that up. Now, of course, we cannot say definitively that will be enough, but that's what's worked for me. And I'm confident in my system research that even if I may hit, you know, I've gone from the worst drawdown, I've times it by 3. Let's say it was double the worst drawdown happens. I'm pretty certain that for that to happen, you know, I've banked for 3 or 4 times, that I'm still going to revisit this system, and I have review periods every 6 months that I'm going to have a look at to find out why. And I will talk about factors that you can use to identify whether something is just tailed off or is variance or whatever. There's factors that you can use for that to define that. And I'll talk about that again in another. Now, again, it's all going to come together in one. So on that basis, if I had £1,000 available, I have a system with a drawdown of, say, 23 points, betting prices around 2 to 2.5, so I can expect losing runs 10, 12, 13, something like that. So I'd multiply that drawdown by 3, 23 times 3 would be 69, and I would just round that up to the nearest 25, so I'd round it up to 75. So I've got a drawdown that is over three times the maximum that I've seen in forward and backward testing. I've got a longest losing run of perhaps 14, 15. I've got a bank now of 75 that can mop all that up. So 1,075 points. So my £1,000 divided by 75 points, £13.33 per point. I'd round that to £13. You know, I'd either round down or up. If it's under 50, I'll round it down. 50 and over, I'll round it up. So 13.33, round it to 13, even gives me a slightly little bit more comfort. And that would be my starting stakes. I then need a plan for growth. And for me, as I increase my bank 50%, I increase my stakes 50%. So my bank was 1,000. Once I get that bank to £1,500, once I reach that number, £13 plus 50% equals 13 plus 650 equals £19.50. I'd round that up to £20. You can round down to 19 if you wish. I'm now staking £20 per game. My bank target now was 1500. It's now 2250. Once it reaches 2250, I'll repeat that process. Stakes would go up from 20 to 30, up 50%. Bank target would go up. If my bank falls below my 1500, so I've put my stakes up, I've got a 1500, put my stakes up, and then I go on a bad run, I don't reduce stakes. I don't want to do all my losing at £20 and then put my stakes back to £13 to try and win it back. Your bank will bob up and down, but, you know, not long ago, I turned £500 into £37,500 in 3 years. 13 months in that. 13-month period, the bank did not move. It just went up, down for 13 months. It would go up to, I think it was got to about 2,000, and it would go up to 2,200. It would go down to 18. It'd go up to 24, back down to 2, up to 22, back down to 17. And it did that for 13 months, just bounced up and down. Using the exact method I've talked about there, 99% of people would have walked away as progress was slow, not being made. It then absolutely took off, had another standstill period, took off again. And you will tend to notice whatever you do that you win in cycles and lose in cycles. Nothing is ever uniform, hence days, weeks, months as measurements are totally pointless. I'm going to leave it there. There's more on this topic to come in the next episode. You know, this one's about half an hour. I don't want them to become monologues. As I say, if you're at the start, go back through. If this interests you, we are looking. We're going to have a new website. We're looking to do some training. We're always looking to help people. Send Dave an email, dave@ftsincome.co.uk, and he'll put you on our training list. We do it by invite. We don't just publicise it. We ask people to email in if they're interested. We then assess your situation, what your finances are. Are you in it? Would you benefit from it? Is it suitable for you? If you are, we have a deeper chat and go from there. So if that's something that interests people who are listening, do email dave@ftsincome.co.uk and he'll put you on the list and notify you when we're going to do some training. That's it. I'll be back with another episode very shortly.